T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
At the end of this segment, we're going to give away the first of our three hints for a little Nats. Who am I? You got to be listening. The three hints we give you this hour will limit the options down to just one player. If you can solve the riddle, you will call us and you will win tickets to opening day. G&D with you on the Fan, welcoming you back. Show, as always, is brought to you by our friends, the law firm of Condori and Murad. They are the official G&D show sponsor. They'll help protect your assets, update your will and trust, schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com and mention the show to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Let's go Blitz and Caps, Commanders, and right now, the Nats. Mark Zuckerman, our guy, massinsports.com, does such a good job covering the team. Mark, tomorrow's huge. Tuesday, tune-up and dress rehearsal at Nats Park. Little futures game. You got all the prospects taking on the big leaguers. What do we need to know about the 12 o'clock start?
Well, guys, you're going to see a lot of big name players. Now, you know, to be fair, most of these guys were already in spring training with the team for the last month. So if you were following those games or if you made it down to Florida, there's not going to be a lot of new faces in that regard. But for fans up here, you know, this might be your first chance to ever see Dylan Cruz, James Wood, Trey Lipscomb, Elijah Green, Brady House, all those guys in person. So I think it's a really cool idea of what they've done. They always play this game every year, but it's usually against like the Yankees or Red Sox or some other team that's making their way up the East Coast to start the season. So I think it's a great idea to have this game against their own prospects and both give fans a chance to see them and also give these kids a chance to, you know, see what it's like to play a game in Nats Park, because especially this year, I think we're going to be seeing a lot of them here sooner rather than later on a permanent basis.
What are some of the to-be-determined questions, battles, you know, guys that are kind of, you know, I don't want to say running out of rope here, but, you know, just give me some of the keys here to this early part of the season that may not look the same in a couple of months.
Well, first, before we even get to that, there's one roster spot left to decide, and it's basically Trey Lipscomb or whether it's Luis Garcia or maybe Nassim Nunez, the Rule 5 pick. But, I mean, Lipscomb is the only prospect who made it all the way through and is still here, and every sense I get is that he is very strongly, if not favored, to win a job coming out of camp, which I think is pretty amazing. So there's that. But I think the other thing to watch here is no matter what this opening day roster looks like, it's going to change a lot over the course of the season, and maybe even early on in the season. James Wood, I know he didn't make the team, but he looked close to ready. He's going to start at AAA. You know, they want to make sure he does some stuff there, but I really don't think it's going to be that long before we see him up here. The other guys may be a little bit longer. I think Cruz and House in particular, they had their moments, but they also looked like kids in big league camp, which is fine. That's the way it's supposed to be. But they didn't necessarily scream to me like these guys are on the verge of being big leaguers, maybe later in the season for that. The other thing to watch is, again, we talk all about these battles in spring training, but Trevor Williams is the number 5 starter to begin the year. I don't think it's going to stay that way for very long. They're going to call up Jackson Rutledge at some point from AAA. They really like what he's done. We're going to see Cade Cavalli when he returns from Tommy John surgery sometime around June. So even though Williams is the starter for now, I think it's a really short leash, and I think we're going to see him move to the bullpen before too long.
Go back to the infield and the one decision still to be determined, because they got 14 guys for 13 spots, I think it is. Specifically, Nunez, if they don't keep him, they lose him back to the Marlins. And you mentioned Garcia. They don't have any options to send him back down. So, like, how would that work if he's the guy out of luck?
Well, they would put him through waivers and see if anybody else claimed him. And if not, maybe you could get him through and just outright him to AAA, and he'll be off the 40-man roster. But I think that's really the dilemma they're facing right now. Everybody in the organization loves Trey Lipscomb. They love what he can be, they think. But are you so in love with him that you're willing to risk losing somebody else outright right now, whether that's Garcia, who, you know, for all his faults, he's still only 23 years old. And do you really want to give up on him altogether and maybe somebody else turns him into a quality big leaguer? And in Nassim Nunez's case, it's a little complicated always with the Rule 5 draft. If he's here, he's got to be on the roster all year long. He plays great defense. He runs the bases really well. I think there would be a role for him off the bench. But the real question there is it worth it for whatever he might become someday? I don't know that they really think he's going to hit someday to be an everyday big leaguer. So is it worth hanging on to this guy who's just going to be a defensive replacement and pinch runner? I think those are the dilemmas that they're facing right now. But they didn't expect to be in this spot. I think Trey Lipscomb forced the issue by being as consistently good all spring as he was.
Mark Josiah Gray gets the nod on opening day. I love that. I'm in favor of that. However, he did walk a ton of guys, and the numbers aren't stellar here coming up north from spring training. Thoughts there on Gray's season?
Well, he started the spring great and then kind of tailed off after that. And you're right, there were a ton of walks. He had a game last week where he walked 7, somehow only gave up one run, which is like turning into the classic Josiah Gray start. I think he's deserving of the opening day start based on what he's accomplished to date. I think he took a big step up last year. The biggest thing he did last year is he kept the ball in the park, reduced his home run rate like almost in half. Now, to me, the next big step is the walk rate, because that didn't go down last year. He's got to find a way to keep the ball over the plate without giving up the homers and get himself deeper in games. That's the biggest issue. He can be effective and give one or two runs, but if his pitch count is in the 90s by the fifth inning, he's just not going to last long. And Davey Martinez keeps talking about he wants 21 outs from his starters. That's 7 innings. Well, Josiah Gray's got a long way to go to do that on a regular basis. I think he can get there, and he is the kind of guy who's very determined to keep trying to improve. But to me, that's the key for him this year. He's already solved the home run problem. Can he solve the walk problem at least to some extent and give him a chance to go later in games?
Mark, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
See you, bud.
Let's talk hockey. Caps are rolling. What a win. Yesterday, Cap One Arena, 3-0 over a Winnipeg team that shut them out last week. Steve Wino of the AP joins us now. Swino, let's start with this stretch. I mean, they're in the playoffs for the moment. A point up on Detroit, who comes to town for a game tomorrow night. It's going to be a bobblehead night. Should be a great atmosphere at Capital One Arena.
Yeah, GP, this team is rolling right now. Alex Ovechkin has scored eight goals in his last 5 games. After scoring 8 goals in his first 43 games, they're getting really good goaltending from Charlie Lindgren. A little bit of a blip from Darcy Kemper the other night against Carolina, but Charlie Lindgren comes in and makes the save they need him to make. He was brilliant against the Winnipeg Jets yesterday. And yeah, you can't overstate how big a game this is against the Red Wings tomorrow night.
How is this happening? I don't have a better question than that, Swino. Like, it shouldn't be. No Backstrom, no Kuznetsov. Oshie in and out of the lineup a whole bunch of times. Other guys, it seems, have been hurt. They shouldn't be doing what they're doing. They're beating quality opponents. How?
Yeah, Dan, I think really it actually has helped that some of the older players who were not producing have opened up opportunities for some of these younger players. Hendrix LaPierre has been really good. Alexi Protas, Connor McMichael, even Alex Alexiev in stretches, a guy who hadn't been playing until the trade of Joel Edmondson, have been playing really well when given the chance to do that. And it's goaltending. And as our colleague Tarek Al-Bashir points out, you could just call the sport goalie sometimes, because if you're getting good goaltending as they are at a Charlie Lindgren, you can do anything. And yeah, I would have been surprised 2 months ago to think that they're still playing meaningful hockey at the end of March, but here we are.
Spencer Carberry's got to be a front runner for coach of the year at this point, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's in consideration. I think John Tortorella and Philadelphia at the Flyers make the playoffs is probably going to get it. Rick Tocchet has gotten a lot out of the Vancouver Canucks, who are first in the West right now. And certainly the former Caps coach, Peter Laviolette, deserves some credit with the Rangers. But, yeah, Spencer Carberry is absolutely up there. Just given the kind of things that this team has dealt with, you guys have mentioned it with the Kuznetsov situation, Nick Backstrom's hip injury, the kind of nagging absences and injuries for TJ Oshie, and just Spencer Carberry navigating this. He's a very process-oriented coach where he's like, look, the results are going to come, but we're going to do the right thing. And I think he's made the right adjustments. He went into training camp thinking, this is a team I want to play fast. And then he realized he didn't have the personnel to do that. So he adjusted to becoming a defensive team. And then when they weren't scoring goals, he took a different approach and said, we need to put more pucks on net. And it seems like every button he's pushed this season has worked.
Last year, the Flyers at 75 points, I think they were, you know, right around seventh in the Metro. Is their season more surprising than Washington's? I mean, Backstrom, Kuznetsov, Ovi for a half season doing very little as a goal scorer. What would make the case for Torts over Carbs?
I think it's way more surprising. I picked the Capitals to make the playoffs going into the season because the Capitals still have the elite talent. They still have Alex Ovechkin. At the time, we thought Nicholas Backstrom, but even Dylan Strome having, I think, an all-star caliber year. Tom Wilson certainly had a great first half of the year. John Carlson is an elite number one defenseman. The Flyers don't have that level of talent. They're probably 2 or 3 years away from being in that sort of position. And even the goaltending, the Flyers lost Carter Hart, who's maybe never playing in the NHL again, and are playing a couple of young Swedish goalies who are playing well and doing this. The Capitals have Darcy Kemper on a long contract. They have Charlie Lindgren, who we started to see glimpses of last year. They're both pretty surprising, but I think John Tortorella, the job he has done there, has been crazy given the lack of top-tier talent in Philadelphia.
Who's been the biggest unsung hero on this group during this run?
That's a really good question. I'm going to throw a bone to Alex Alexiev because this is a kid who was out of the lineup for months at a time and was in the press box eating popcorn with us every game. And he has come in, and has he had some growing pains along the way? Yes, he has. But he's been playing legitimately a good 12 to 16 minutes a night, giving them the sort of dependable minutes that the Capitals have needed. And when you consider who's going to be part of the future core of this team and who's going to need to step up and become full-time NHL players, Alexander Alexiev is at the top of that list, among defensemen at least.
Swino, always good catching up, man. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
See you, dude.
Yeah, be good. All right, let's keep the blitz moving. Time to talk football. Mitch Tischler, Monumental Sports, joins us now. Mitch, a couple of things we could dive into, but how about Adam Peters going pretty hard in the paint, way more candid than normal when he said he has no interest in trading John Allen? What'd you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the first kind of definitive answer we've had about it since last year when John said that he was going to be open to a trade. But at this point in John Allen's contract, he's not really making kind of prohibitive money when you look at the rest of the D-tackle market, and there's not a ton of guaranteed money moving forward. So you can almost look at his signing as almost similar to what they did with kind of Bobby Wagner or Jeremy Chinn, kind of a couple of these like kind of veterans that they brought in where they're here for probably a year or two, but there's not a lot of guaranteed money as you start looking further down the road. And it gives the team a lot of flexibility to figure out which guys they want to keep around and which guys they're happy to let walk.
Who's been their most important signing this offseason?
I mean, I think for me, it's Bobby Wagner, and not necessarily because I think he's going to be the best football player on the field from this group. But to me, the biggest thing that's been missing inside that Commanders locker room has been a veteran leader and somebody who can kind of help galvanize a group. And when you look at the defense the past couple of years, it was pretty much all homegrown players, guys who came up in the organization, hadn't really been elsewhere or won elsewhere or seen how other teams operate. And so they were at a little bit of a deficiency when you came to kind of player leadership because you didn't really have a lot of guys who had any of that kind of outside experience. And as we just talked about John Allen, I think he did a good job of stepping up and trying to be that person. But ultimately, he's not the most vocal person in the world. He's not the most rah-rah guy in the world. He's a put his head down and work hard. And I think kind of taking a little bit of that leadership onus off of his chest as a player is going to help. And I think having a guy like Bobby who can talk as a player and also talk to coaches is a really good medium to have in that locker room. I think that's going to be a big difference for this team.
Mitch, how much stock are you putting into some of the rumblings about what Washington's going to do at number two. Pelissero, within the last hour, said he's talked to a lot of front office people in Orlando, and the people that know Peters best think he's going to go for McCarthy. That's pretty stunning. We've also today heard that Jaden Daniels is separating himself for Washington. Like, what should we be paying attention to?
I think you need to be paying attention to what Adam Peters is saying, and he's playing his cards close to his chest. I think when you look at both the Garofalo report and the Pelissero report, both of them are saying that they talk to other people in the NFL who know these guys. They're not telling you that they're getting it from the horse's mouth. And I think that's an important distinction that fans need to make, because this group is doing things differently than Commanders, football team, Redskins leadership in years past, where there were always little leaks that were getting out. And being the first year that we're going through this process, you know, with Peters and Quinn, you know, there's not a lot of historical knowledge to figure out kind of what they're pointing at. But I do like that they're playing their cards close to their chest, and I like the fact that they went to Michigan to see J.J. McCarthy. They went to L.A. to see Caleb Williams. They're going to see Drake May. They're going to see Jaden Daniels. They're doing their due diligence, which, again, is something that's kind of new for a front office of the Burgundy and Gold, and I really, really like a lot of what we're seeing from them.
So I think a lot of fans want them to trade back just because the idea is good. I just think it's a tough needle to thread here, because my only priority, I don't care who it is, honestly, I need a franchise quarterback at that podium shaking hands with all the brass. You do that, you do anything else, I don't care. I just have a hard time seeing how they would thread that needle. Your thoughts there, Mitch?
I actually agree with you. I don't think that they should be looking to trade back. And quite frankly, if at the end of this process they decide that J.J. McCarthy is the best option, you take them at two, because you control your own destiny there. And if you start trading back and start trying to play the game, you are threading a very narrow needle. And the possibility that you don't end up getting your guy is detrimental to what they're trying to build here. So at the end of the day, I think you got to stick it to, and whichever one of those three guys that's available between J.J., Drake, and Jaden, you go with, regardless of kind of what the fan base response is going to be, because you got to nail your guy. You got to nail that quarterback with that number two pick. And at the end of the day, you don't want to leave it up to chance.
Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you, Mitch.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, guys.
All right, buddy. Be good. Check him out. Monumental Sports. Mitch Tischler. That is your Beltway Blitz. We're Grant and Danny. Let's actually play the clip for people next. This is Tom Pelissero you're going to be hearing. NFL Network super plugged in, suggesting that the Commanders could be leaning toward J.J. McCarthy. You'll hear that in just a couple of moments. Hint number one. Three hints this hour. Each of them's important to unlock the key. Which national are we talking about? Hint number one. I am an infielder.
Oh.
We're playing Who Am I? Nats edition for opening day tickets. Hint number one. I am an infielder. G&D on the fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your second hint, Nats, Who Am I? You're trying to win tickets to opening day in the good seats from your pals Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Coming your way at the end of this segment, you got to be listening. For hint number two, we've already given you one. If you didn't listen, if you weren't hearing it last segment, you got to download the Odyssey app and hit rewind, perhaps. Let's play the Tom Pelissero clip. This was NFL Network just about an hour ago. He's talking about the Commanders at number two and what he's hearing at the owners' meetings in Orlando.
It's been really interesting because everybody's always trying to figure out, especially at the top of the draft, what the other teams are doing. When I've had conversations here with executives for other teams who know Adam Peters well, know the situation well, the most popular answer for what they do at number two is J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy. Now, important clarification, he is not saying I've been told Adam Peters is taking J.J. McCarthy or Adam Peters is telling me that he likes J.J. McCarthy. When I've had conversations here with executives from other teams. So this is what the clubs are assuming Peters is going to do, who know him based on his past more so than anything else. They are saying, look out for J.J. McCarthy to the Washington Commanders.
The key distinction is the first part here. This is not, I spoke to someone with Washington. I spoke to a high-ranking official. That is the most important thing here. It's what the other guys are talking about. That's why it's noteworthy. It's interesting, but it's not gospel. Nothing is at this time of year, especially. But even still, this is, again, informed speculation. Given Peters' past, given who they've preferred previously, given mistakes that have happened, see Lance Cometre, given all those different things, this is what makes the most sense to us. Now, again, that's noteworthy. That's interesting, right? A guy that can come into a good situation and obviously, it leads the team to success. We just saw him do it at the highest level of college football, right? He wasn't asked to throw it 50 times a game. That's not who they were. But he handled a really good roster, got them made a few plays per game when he had to. That fits the bill. I don't know how people would feel about that generally, but it is certainly a data point that's worth considering.
What I find interesting about that is it's the opposite, probably, of what you would want out there if you're Peters. Here's what I mean. Who's the most likely guy teams are trading up to get? Who's the second most likely guy?
May.
You would want teams to think that you're taking one of those two guys or that you're debating between them, correct?
Yes.
In other words, I don't get the sense that teams are trading up for McCarthy. If the highest the Vikings can get is four,
then that's what they're doing.
Then they'll take J.J. McCarthy after Williams goes one, and then Daniels and May go 2-3 in some order, respectively. But nobody is trading up a bunch of picks to 3 or 4 so that they can get McCarthy. So you wouldn't float that you're taking him, because if the Vikings think they can get Drake May at 3, then they're not as desperate to give you a King's ransom at 2. You tracking how I'm thinking?
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me think, well, this is obviously not something that Peters is putting out there for other teams, because there's no real benefit to him misleading anybody. In other words, if the other people that know him were talking to Adam Peters and they came away from the conversation as if Peters is going, you know who I really, really like is this McCarthy. He knows Caleb Williams is going first, and nothing else matters.
Right.
He's got the pick of the entire draft and he could just take any of the three. He doesn't have to. If you're picking third and you're the Patriots, then you might have to lie when you're talking to a Patriots or a Commander scout.
You start floating stuff, yeah.
But if you're talking to a Commander scout or someone else, you might go, yeah, you know, we really want Jaden Daniels. Hoping that maybe someone goes up in front of you or the team in front of you takes him so that you can actually get the guy you want. I don't really see any benefit to him misleading anybody. Now, I don't know that anybody talked to him and got that as much as they're just looking at who is Brock Purdy. You know, who
right.
looks like Jimmy Garoppolo most, or Tom Brady, you know, Peyton Manning. Those are the quarterbacks that he's been on the scouting staff when he's won rings.
So when you start to look at the trade up possibilities, right? And that's kind of what this would all be about. I think you kind of alluded to it very well. You know, where do you have to go if you're Minnesota, Denver, the Raiders, a team in that range that is absolutely itching? I mean, Sean Payton referenced it, that it's certainly a possibility. Minnesota has loaded up in terms of picks to be able to try to do it. And I think the Raiders would love to as well. Where do you have to go to get blank?
Who's blank?
And that's the question.
If you want Jaden Daniels, you got to go to 2 probably. If you want Drake May, it's probably the same. If you want McCarthy, I think you can go to 4.
Could you go to 4? And maybe, again, maybe there's, I'm putting my tinfoil hat on here. Maybe that's the play, right? If Team X, call it Minnesota or Denver, let's say Sean Payton's got the steamies for J.J. McCarthy, or so you think, and he finds out you can't actually go to 4, you got to go to 2 if you want that guy. I know you like him better than May. I know you like him better than Daniels. You don't want to deal with a guy running
point.
Around.
I don't know that there's many teams that like him more than those guys. I think they're trading up, and the possibility of getting him is he's the consolation prize. You can get up to 4 and 5. The difference between trading up to there and 2 or 3 is astronomical, right? So that if you're giving up the world to go to 2 with Washington versus 4 or 5, it's the difference of a future first and second right. or something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I don't think anybody's trading up because they're going, we've got to get J.J. McCarthy. My God, they're biting their knuckles. Because you know, that guy is just he is going to be the next great quarterback. I think he's the safety net for if you can't get up high enough and the other guys go before
but
that.
But do we need to change our viewpoint on that, I guess is my point. The meteoric rise, the helium this guy's got, without throwing that many passes, it speaks to itself. Right?
I have no reason to believe that teams are putting him on their board over Daniels or May in mass. We've heard nothing about that. We've heard he could go top 10. We've heard he could even work his way into the back end of the top 5. Until this Pelissero thing today, and I guess the question is how much are people buying it? We could start there on the MGM National Harbor listener lines, 800-636-1067. There has not been speculation really at all that he's going to go off the board before Daniels or May does. First time I even saw a mock that had him going ahead of one of those guys was Ben Standig's mock draft in The Athletic today, where he had Jaden Daniels 2 to Washington, and then he actually had J.J. McCarthy 3 to the Patriots, Drake May 4 to the Vikings, which, by the way, if that worked out that way for them, I'll bet they'd be doing cartwheels to go up to 4 and get him and not McCarthy. But I just don't know how much weight to put behind this or how much to buy this, because quite literally this is just what people who know this person think they might be thinking. That's kind of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If you hit up a bunch of people who have done radio with me before for tomorrow's show and you go, Darius, Danny, Brendan, AJ, whoever has been around, Ryan, what do you think Grant's going to want to talk about tomorrow? They could give you a list of things because they kind of know some of how I feel. But here's the problem. You're basing Adam Peters' pass on as if it was him all along. He was never the number one. He was the number two to Lynch. Really, the number three if you count Kyle. He was down the depth chart in New England. He was down the depth chart in Denver. Do we really know what he would have done in all those years? Would he have gone Lance? Would he have gone Mac Jones? We have no idea, really. I mean, maybe his closest buddies on the scouting journey do, you know, that have been driving the miles and seeing him at all the practices, and they just sit at a Hooters and talk shop every single night when they're 26 years old. Maybe they have an idea, but they're guessing. Should we care that much about what they're guessing he thinks? That's what this is.
Yeah, I think it's a data point that we should consider, and I think we're doing that. I guess maybe let me do the flip side of that. We are the product of our experiences, right? When you coach under Bill Belichick, you do things a certain way. You coach under Mike Shanahan, you do things a certain way, right? So he's been in buildings multiple times over where it's been done like this. I think the successes, and I put those in success, where when you had Jimmy Garoppolo, you went 13-3, 10-7, 13-4 over those 3 seasons when he was healthy enough to play the majority of their games. When he wasn't, you went 6-10. This year, you went 12-5 and were a hair away from winning a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy, right? Then their failure, Trey Lance. Then you go to his other stops and you kind of wonder, maybe that has shaped him. Maybe he doesn't want flashy Fred. Maybe he doesn't want improvisational playmaker. Maybe he doesn't care about athletic skill set and throwing across your body 90 miles an hour, Drake May style. Maybe he wants the extension of the coach on the football field because that's what he believes in. Right? Simply because of what's worked and what's failed in places that he's been before. Maybe that's his philosophy. Maybe that's why, you know, if you're Washington, you go get that guy because he's cut from some of these cloths of success in previous stops. So it to me, it's interesting. And I suppose I could see it, by the way, when you start to frame it that way. I could see Peters going, that guy, pointing in May for the sake of argument, is a bit of a project. We had some cleaning up to do. This other guy is fragile and is going to hit a bunch and didn't throw it over the middle a whole lot. This dude right here just finished winning a national championship, and he's going to do at our for our thing exactly what he just did there, which is hand it off a million times, check it down to other NFL talent, and make me a player two per week.
Yeah, this is why I've kind of seen McCarthy in the top 10 all along. I think the transition is going to be somewhat seamless considering it was a pro offense. And I think he's going to fit a lot of the Shanahan-esque schemes around the league. I think there's plenty of coordinators he'd be a really good fit with. Interestingly, Kingsbury wasn't one that I kind of thought, just from a sheer fit standpoint, made a lot of sense. But you see how much the dialogue has changed here, right? At the end of the college season, he was viewed as maybe a back-end first-round pick. Then going into the combine, you started to hear him being in the top half, the top round. On combine day, on combine coverage, when guys were working out, we started to hear that all the noise in Indy was he was in the top 12, maybe top 8, that the Vikings felt like if they didn't trade up,
they weren't getting him.
11, that they weren't going to get him. So that's how you knew he was going in the top 10. And now the conversation is more top 5. You know, back end of the top 5, maybe you can grab him at 4 or 3 if you like him more than one of the other quarterbacks. But Pelissero on Network says he's talking to a lot of executives in Orlando this week at the owners' meetings, and what he's hearing is the people that know Adam Peters think he might want J.J. McCarthy at number 2. Do you buy that? Do you think that makes any sense? Can you see that? And would you be okay with that? 800-636-1067. Danny has been adamant that McCarthy is an overrated prospect who's not very good. I want to see if you'd be okay if Peters takes McCarthy at 2. We'll do that next on Grant and Danny.
It's been really interesting because everybody's always trying to figure out, especially at the top of the draft, what the other teams are doing. When I've had conversations here with executives for other teams who know Adam Peters well, know the situation well, the most popular answer for what they do at number 2 is J.J. McCarthy.
That was Tom Pelissero. All right, hint number 2 we should have given you for it. Who am I? The Nats game to win Nats tickets. Third hint right at the end of the hour coming up in about 6 minutes. At which time you can connect the dots and call in. 800-636-1067 is the 10th caller, and you will, ladies and gentlemen, if you are able to answer the question, win tickets to opening day as caller 10. Hint number 2, I hit 2 home runs this spring. I hit 2 home runs at spring training. One more hint to go, just a few minutes out. Danny, if they take, speaking of number 2, J.J. McCarthy with the 2nd overall pick, as Pelissero suggesting his league sources think they will, which is saying a lot.
Yeah.
How will you feel? You can't stand J.J. McCarthy.
No, that's not fair.
Now, you don't get the backtrack now. You hate J.J. McCarthy.
I don't hate him at all.
Guy, you think he stinks and he shouldn't go at the top of the draft?
No, I said I would never be able to look myself in the mirror and draft him in the top 5.
Oh, you sound like you love him.
I don't hate the guy, though. If he's the perfect candidate to me to be somebody that if I'm a team that's good, I trade back into the first round, I take it 21, and it ends up being a great find. I could not do that at the beginning of the draft. So I wouldn't agree with it, but I'd be okay. My point here, my salient piece is at the end of this draft, whatever else happens is adorable and precious, and thank you for doing it. Scout your scouting, write all your reports, pick your guy, and this value at 38 and this one at 47, adorable. Did you come out with a franchise quarterback that we're going to get to see for a couple of years, and whether he sinks or swims, then we'll do the dance again? That's what I care about. So it's not what I would have done, but it's not even close to things that they've already done that I wouldn't have done. For example, Martin Mayhew's still making decisions. No, that's awful. That's ridiculous. You'll notice I'm not calling for anybody's head or saying that Adam Peters doesn't know what he's doing.
Such a bigger deal than that. Who cares about?
I do.
Well,
I care
he's irrelevant. He's just a guy in the front office.
Yes, he is, and he shouldn't be.
But he's not doing anything.
He's part of this process.
The quarterback, they have to get right. This is such a bigger deal.
He interviewed the coach. He's deciding the direction of the franchise. It's absurd.
He's not deciding the direction of the franchise.
He helped do that. He shouldn't be there. I care more about that than I would say, well, you know, I wouldn't have taken this guy at number 2. I think that's a little bit silly. But like that's a little bit silly
to
do that.
You should not care more about if Martin Mayhew is still here or not than if they take J.J. McCarthy at number 2.
One is an exact science. aka a personnel person that shouldn't be there. The other is a quarterback choice that may or may not work.
Personnel
the process
person
is good.
Who wasn't a good general manager. He's probably perfectly fine in the current role he's in. If he was still the general manager, I would get your frustration. It's no different to me than Brian Johnson, who they hired, who everyone seems to be fine with, who was a bad coordinator. Cliff Kingsbury, who was a bad head coach as an OC. No one seems to have a big issue with that necessarily. I'm going to be excited if they take McCarthy. I think he is a better prospect than he gets credit for. Look, I still will have a hard time believing that they passed on Drake May to take J.J. McCarthy. I will have a hard time believing that they watched Jaden Daniels and went back and looked at all the tape and they decided, we want McCarthy more than Daniels because he's got a greater upside. I think McCarthy might have a better first and second year in the league, maybe than Jaden Daniels or Drake May. It's possible. I think he's polished and he's pretty far along as a prospect. But you're ideally, you're drafting ceiling, right? In some ways, fit. But I'm not necessarily prioritizing fit with Kingsbury. He could be gone in a year or two. You hired a defensive-minded coach, which was incorrect, probably. He's done a great job putting together a staff, so God bless him. But your OC could walk out the door at any minute. So the fit thing, to me, is not as important as the ceiling. And I just can't see that they view McCarthy as the ceiling quarterback after Williams. But I do not dislike him like it seems like everybody else does. I think, I don't really know what it is. I think it's basically that Michigan was so good that he didn't really have to play hero ball that most people don't know what he's capable of.
So
he's got an awesome arm and a good accuracy, and he's got the prototype size, and he's a good athlete, and he can move around and extend plays.
Well, here's what happens every year. We see the mock drafts. We see the big boards. We see all the orders. He doesn't appear in the top two in any of those. Right. And so we do this exercise every year where we look at all these mock drafts. You look at all the analysis of the really smart guys that do this for a living and go, this is a miss, or this guy's great, or this guy's bad,
yeah,
based on these criteria. And nobody knows anything.
Sure.
Right?
But I'm not saying, like, yeah, that's why people will be surprised.
Right, so people go, that's a mistake.
No. But that's not what people are doing. People are making fun of J.J. McCarthy and saying he can't play and saying that Michigan was hiding him by not having him throw passes and saying that he can't hold a jock, a Jaden Daniels jock. I mean, this is not I don't see him in the top two. Should he really go there? This is people don't think very highly of this player because he threw 8 passes in that one win against Penn State thing. I'm not in that camp. Kevin's in Arlington. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, fellas. Yeah, as this process has gone on, it's just confirming what I was seeing with my own eyes the last couple seasons. And that is, to me, J.J. McCarthy has a sky-high floor as a pro quarterback. He is the prototypical CEO-type kid. Plus, the guy has tremendous physical tools that weren't needed time and again in Ann Arbor. But he's very accurate. He's very mobile. He's very athletic. He's a tremendous leader. His floor is so high that I'm scared about certain aspects of Daniels, who I think could be fragile, who could get hurt. Hell, even just recently, Jalen Hurts got banged up after being, everybody's calling him an MVP type. You just have to be concerned about running quarterbacks in the NFL and can they stay healthy. And with Drake, I think he's raw. I think he's phenomenal in his gifts, but his footwork is off. And you know what? To me, McCarthy is the smart choice. I will be thrilled if they take McCarthy second of all, because I don't see in any situation him busting. I don't see it.
Appreciate
Thanks,
you, buddy.
Dude.
That's actually a really interesting way to view this, I think, what he was just getting at, mm-hmm. which is the floor versus ceiling conversation. Daniels, you're swinging for the fences, and you might hit a ball 15 rows deep. You know, May, you're swinging for the fences. Does McCarthy have the best floor of those guys? I think that's a really good conversation we can get into next. 800-636-1067, you want to hop in. Also, let's do it this way. Third hint's coming. Danny's going to give it right now. And then you're trying to win Who Am I tickets to see the Washington Nationals. So, Danny, opening day tickets on the line. Third hint for people to connect some dots.
I was acquired via trade.
All right, time up your call correctly, and you could go to opening day with the 106.7 The Fan seats right now on Nats Who Am I on Grant and Danny.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.